Hey there, Meow Mentors. It's Cat Lady Justin, and this is the Kitty Boss, where we pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love. Today is a very special show because we have a surprise guest, but we also have our Thanksgiving special. So we want to talk about things around having guests in the house and the holidays because, we're holiday season right now. And so without further ado, first of all, our regular catch-up co-host is Dr. Rachel Geller, one of the world's foremost cat behaviorists, cat chaplains, and also the president of All Cats All the Time for people who have low income but still need cat kit. We can help you out. So make sure that you check that out whenever you can. So Dr. Rachel, it's great to see you. Hope you're doing well. Are you well? You look well. It's always great to see your happy face.
I'm well. I'm ready to go. I'm excited to be on my monthly catch up with you.
Yeah, we're excited too, because we also have a really great pertinent question today. And without further ado, we have a special guest, a surprise guest, Dan. Dan is actually a friend of Dr. Rachel's, so she vouches for him. He is a certified veterinary technician who works in many clinics around the Boston area. And his expertise, the tips, the advice, the techniques, the tricks that he's going to share with us today are, of course, going to be very, very valuable. Obviously, we always say it's not a replacement for a veterinarian who knows your cat, who actually has touched your cat, seen your cat, taken its, you know, measurements, life signs, vitals, and bloods. That's not a replacement for it, but we do have a expert here today, in addition to us two experts here in the whole realm of behavior and energy. So, Dan, welcome to the show. I'm really honored and grateful to have you here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you guys today.
Awesome. So, like I said, it's the Thanksgiving special, but what I'd like to kick off with today is the question that we have, because we have somebody named Rosie, a new friend of mine, who actually lives in the UK. So some of the advice I'll give, at least, will be pertinent to people in the UK. And that way, I'll leave the more global tips to you guys. So here's the question. Ready?
Ready.
So she says, my question. My cat has got gingivitis or something similar, which is familiar to me because I had a cat with that. Well, two cats with that. The vet wasn't specific. She explained it has her immune system attacking her gums or something like that. They want to give her steroids monthly, and I would prefer to heal it and help her immune system naturally. She has inflamed gums and her teeth need to be cleaned. She has bad breath. Thank you. That's her question. So I'll leave, again, some of the more interesting tips or global tips regarding that to you guys. But because I do actually have experience with cats and gingivitis and similar, with both Emily and Charlotte, and because Rosie is in the UK, I want to tell other people who are in the UK that I never imagined that a dietary change would resolve that particular issue versus brushing their teeth every day and all and getting teeth extractions and the professional descaling. Now, of course, Emily's was more advanced and she did have to have the descaling and have some teeth removed. But the gingivitis was still present in the remaining teeth. Charlotte never went that far, but just had some real advanced plaque that had to be removed. Now, I have, for a year and a half, going on 2 years, I changed their diet. And I did that because I heard this could help with that and other things, including dandruff and behavior and all that. And I never imagined it would work, but I tried it. Because it was cheap. They had this sort of loss leader intro offer that was irresistible. That was a no-brainer because it was cheaper than going to Home Bargains, which is our dollar store here, like Poundland. It was the cheapest of the cheap. So I said, look, worst case scenario, I have to throw food away. It's wastage. I don't like it. But I haven't spent really a lot of money for two cats for 2 weeks. And that is to switch their food to a company called Bella and Duke. And so I did that, and I've been an addict ever since because of the fact that it has absolutely transformed both my cats' lives. They both had their vet annual checkup about a month ago, three and a half weeks ago, and they're both healthier than they were a year ago. So their health is improving, even though they're both seniors. And I think that's remarkable, and I think that's due mostly, sorry, I needed some water, mostly for the cat food that I changed. Now, it is raw, safe, so certified, human grade, absolutely safe raw food. And you have to be careful with raw food, because if it's not safe and there's any kind of contamination, you're at risk. That said, we had a massive recall here in the UK about 3 years ago for pet food. Cats and dogs were dying because they were feeding this food, and it was not raw. It was actually major national and international brand cat foods. Global brand, right? So if they're not perfect, we know what's we know that they're not perfect. So I'm perfectly happy recommending this because of what it's done for my cats. Now, again, it's UK only relevant, which is why I said I'll talk about Rosie and the UK and you guys can address the more global stuff, because I think this is the big thing, because it totally handled my cat's teeth. And nothing worked before that. Not kibble, not dental things, not brushing their teeth, not those little powders, that the green powders, the plaque supposed to help with that, didn't help my cats, although I think it's probably a good product. Nothing worked. I tried 6 or 7 different things. The only thing that worked is when I switched their diet and then I saw their teeth improving. Still brush their teeth. Not every cat lets you do that. But that made all the difference. So for anybody who's interested, there's that link on the screen, but I'll read it out to you, because if you use it, you get the deal I got, which is 70% off your first 2 weeks, which makes it less than £1 a day. And for two cats, that's, you're not going to find cheaper than that, even at Poundland. So it's thekittyboss.com/Belladuke. So www.thekittyboss.com/BELLADUKE. thekittyboss.com/Belladuke. I did a whole episode with the founder of that company. I trust the guy. I trust the company. I've been a customer of theirs first and foremost for over a year, almost 2 years now. And what I've seen, and my recommendation is based entirely on the results for my two cats, as well as people, friends of mine and family of mine here in the UK who have cats. So that's all I want to say about it, because I want to give both Dan and Rachel a chance to answer more globally for these. So who wants to go first? Dr. Rachel, how about you?
Okay, well, so I'm not a veteran of vet tech, but I have had cats with dental issues. Mm-hmm. So I'll speak to personal experience and just what I know. So just like people, every cat is very individual. Some cats may be able to help with a special food or a prescription food. Some cats may need a cleaning. Some cats may need extractions. Some cats have those resorptive lesions and they need multiple teeth out. So it's all very individual per cat, just like it is with people. I've never had a cavity or a filling in my entire life, and I'm old, and it's just my genetics or my disposition. I don't think I do anything special. I use regular over-the-counter toothpaste. And then there are people, my husband's a perfect example, who does everything and tries everything and bends over backwards. And he still has had multiple problems and implants. Probably wouldn't like me sharing all of this, but you get the point. So some cats can be helped with the prescription dental food. Typically, it's made with pieces that are larger, so they have to crunch into it. You know, a lot of the foods that are dental that are sold on the market are actually too small. I mean, the whole idea is they have to bite into it and crunch it. So some cats, the tartar and the plaque can be solved with that. Some cats will need to be sedated and have, you know, a complete cleaning and the scaling, and that's enough. Some cats, you know, they get in there and they see that the teeth need to be removed. So it's very individual. If the cat really, you know, does have severe dental disease, you do want to address that with your veterinarian, because that is something that could be very painful and can cause infections and sometimes severe infections in cats.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And of course, I've had a similar experience, like I said before, because Emily, as I said, did have to actually have some extractions. Yeah. Charlotte did not. And they're both treated the same. I treat them both. You know, they're both on the same diet and everything else. So absolutely, that makes perfect sense. Dan, how about you? Is there any sort of tips or experience, you know, anything you'd share about that?
Yeah, so everything that, you know, that Rachel said, I definitely, you know, agree with there. A lot of those dental diets can be helpful. They do have to be large enough, you know, to be able to actually scrape the tartar, because a lot of cats, if you give them small enough kibble, they don't actually chew it very much. They'll just kind of swallow it. They don't really need to chew it as much. They get there and they get excited. Sometimes, you know, you get your scarf and barf, but that's not as dental related. But yeah, so with the dental disease, the plaque, it can, you know, turn into tartar within about 48 hours or so. So that's why using either the diets consistently or the treats consistently or brushing consistently and really making a daily habit is something that's going to be very important to help keep those teeth cleaner. In terms of this one particular case, you know, if they were recommending steroids, I would be worried, you know, about other things that are happening that we didn't get from that message necessarily, because other things that can cause really bad breath or, you know, really bad inflammation in there are things like oral masses, which can be really aggressive in cats. It can be things like stomatitis, which, if she had mentioned that the immune system was actually attacking the teeth, that's something that can be very, you know, similar. And a lot of the time the cats need full mouth extractions. And even then, sometimes the gingivitis doesn't go away fully. So any of those things that, you know, the vet is recommending are probably just to help keep the cat comfortable, which is always our goal, you know, with all of our things is just cat comfort. That's why we're here. That's why we get them. We want to see them happy and comfortable and running around having a good time.
Happy, healthy, and comfortable. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's really important to note that, I make the recommendation for the food-based thing because we're in the UK and I think it's worth trying. And I also think it's worth doing in addition to, but not as a replacement to, what the vet recommends. Because again, like I said at the beginning, your vet knows your cat, has seen your cat, has touched your cat, has taken its vital signs, its blood work, whatever it needs to do so that your vet, I mean, she mentioned the vet is a woman, so the vet knows what she's doing. And I think it's really important that we do things in addition and to support that, because if they recommended the steroids, I mean, that's not, it doesn't sound like awesome, you know, because it sounds pretty aggressive treatment, but there must be a reason for that. There must be a reason that it's not just, oh, brush your cat's teeth. You know, or we need to do an extraction. If they said steroids, there might be an immune, you know, reason, like as hinted at in that question. So I really encourage you to follow the vet's recommendations and whatever we suggest to do in addition, as something to help that go along. And maybe if you do both, you know, the vet will take the cat off the steroids in a year or something when the condition is calmed down. You never know. We can't guarantee that kind of thing. But I wouldn't recommend anyone to do something instead of. It's like with people. Some people talk about alternative medicine. I talk about complementary medicine, because some of these energy works we should do in addition to. You know, don't run away from from getting some treatment. Certainly I don't trust, you know, the establishment and all of that, like, you know, implicitly. No, of course I'm skeptical and doubtful, and I know they've lied and done all these weird things for money. But on the other hand, most people are good-hearted and are trying to help you. So we do need to respect that, you know, there is actual bona fide science and truthfulness behind a lot of what's going on, and probably most of what's going on. So we need to not run away from it, but we also need to not blindly follow orders, like, you know, like we're slaves. So when your vet is a similar thing, we We need to be mindful of that, and we need to support your vet in enhancing your cat's health. Otherwise, do what my old boss did, which is never take your cat to the vet, never get it vaccinated, never give it a shot, completely neglect anything to do with any of that, no insurance, nothing. And God bless you. Good luck. I mean, maybe like this guy, your cats will live to be in their late 20s and there'll be miracles. I personally don't make that choice because that kind of approach would make me nervous, because I think he maybe got lucky. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's the way to go and cats need to rough it like that. But that makes me nervous. So my cats have seen the vet every year for their whole lives since they were born. They're both spayed. They both have had all their shots and all their everything. But again, like I said, I know someone with cats who have lived very long and healthy lives, and they've never been to the vet. They're not insured. They're not vaccinated, nothing. So you can do that. That's within your rights and your choice to do. But you need to, you know, ultimately decide what you're comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with such a choice because I'm too worried about, you know, maybe I'm overprotective. I don't know. But that's just me. So you're, of course, welcome to do that. But if you want our recommendations, or my recommendation is, do things that are complementary. In other words, they go hand in hand with the medical stuff. So the cat is maybe instantly comfortable immediately, and then you do these other things and the cat is enhanced and their health improves, and then maybe they can be weaned off of those more aggressive treatments. And then I'm sure your vet is not irresponsible, so your vet is going to monitor those aggressive treatments, make sure that they're not going too far and the cat's turning into like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of felines or something. You know, it's going to be totally done respectfully. So sorry, yeah. Dr. Rachel, I think you wanted to say something.
I was just going to say it like as a last bit to this whole conversation is that I'm sure that her vet would welcome these questions. I think sometimes people are, you know, reticent or afraid to ask. They, you know, that they don't want to be seen as a pain in the neck or I'm pushing back. But if she did go to her vet and say, you know, what is the reason, you know, why do you want my cat to be on these steroids? Or in addition to this, do you think it would be okay if I did this or we try this? And I find that most veterinarians are very, very receptive to questions. They want to answer your questions. They want to help. So if she does feel a little, you know, shy or unsure, I just want to reassure the person who wrote in that it's perfectly acceptable that after thinking about it to call the vet's office or go back and ask some questions.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And hopefully that's true.
They might even have a nurse talk with you as well and just go over some stuff from the doctor's recommendations, because the doctors don't always have all the time to jump on the phone, but they'll at least have someone, you know, relay that info back to you. And they do care a lot about all of their patients, including each of your pets.
Yeah, I would hope so, at least, you know, because it's not an easy life. I mean, you know, my vet's missing a thumb, and I'm sure he's still a vet because, you know, he loves animals despite that. We have a hello from our friend, a hi from our friend, the crocheting cat behaviorist, who's a cat behaviorist who also produces marvelous products for both cats and humans that are all crocheted, because she hand makes each and every one, and it's really cute. And it's in the USA. It's so, we're sorry for UK people. It is shippable here, but the customs cost a fortune. So, but if you're in the USA, you're in luck, because, you know, it's shippable very cheaply over there. Lovely stuff. Everything from little blankets to hats to you name it. So hi, Pam. Hi, how are you? And then we have another hi from someone who obviously didn't click that little link to allow us to reveal who they are. So whoever you are, hi, thank you for watching and joining us. We love to see you. So that's so I think that's it. So unless one of you guys has something to say or ask regarding this particular question about gingivitis and other potential immune things that are affecting this cat, I think we can move on to our more general Thanksgiving and holiday discussion. So is that all right with you guys?
Good.
Yeah, I would just add one other thing, I guess, that if they're actively in discomfort from gingivitis or from dental disease, that it's probably a better idea to maybe hold off on switching to switching directly to an exclusive dry food that's made just for teeth, because sometimes that dry food can also be irritating if it's already, you know, inflamed and everything like that. So it's really, it's such a balancing game that we always have to think of.
Yeah, that makes sense. So again, to be discussed with your vet, because again, the vet might have that recommendation for the sort of medical cat food. When it comes to the one I suggested, which is in the UK, that's actually a raw pate. So it's not a concern, okay, because it's a dry food. But it's still, again, to be done in consultation with your vet and how they feel about it and whether they recommend it or they recommend against it. Because again, like I said, I'm, you know, we all make our recommendations based on our experience, and my experience has been miraculous with that stuff. But does that mean that every single cat? I mean, I do know there are people who have tried, and no matter what they did to transition their cats to this food, the cats just wouldn't, they don't like it. Okay. I mean, what in this world? Nothing in this world is 100%, right? So only Siths deal in absolute. Sorry, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know what I'm saying. And if you're not, you have no clue what I just said. But absolutes basically are not obtainable. So we don't expect anything to be 100%. We're just sharing our experience and what works for most people that have that we've observed. So that's great. So let's move on to talking a little bit about Thanksgiving. In the UK, there's no such thing. But in the US, there's Thanksgiving. But in the UK, there's still holidays. There's lots of holidays around this time of year for every religion. So holidays involves usually family, friends, meals, guests in the house. So while Dr. Rachel and I talked quite a bit about what to do when you go out during Halloween last month, in this case, it's the opposite. Now we're having people coming into the home. And so I think some of the tips in my experience will be similar. Give your cat a safe place. Maybe they don't want to mingle. Give your cat the option of having that safe place. Fellaway plugins or other brands that have that pheromonal plugins. Various things to de-stress the cat. So let's talk a little bit about that kind of stuff, as well as potential, the, you know, dietary dangers of our holiday meals for a cat, because there's certainly things we don't want them to get sink their teeth into. So let's talk a little bit about that for the remainder of this show.
So, yes, happy Thanksgiving to everybody who celebrates. And it is always, you do want to be careful with the food at Thanksgiving. You know, we're enjoying turkey and all the fixings, but, you know, you do want to keep your cat away from this, you know, away from the holiday foods. They tend to be rich, they tend to be fatty, and it can be really upsetting to your cat's belly. But some things can be dangerous. Onions, garlic, raisins, spices, you know, these could be dangerous, very dangerous, and even life-threatening to cats if they eat too much of it. So you really want to make sure you keep that food away from your cat. And even the cat, even like the wrappings that we use, you know, things like aluminum foil or a plastic wrap or wax paper or like the strings that you might use on the turkey, they're going to smell like the food. And they could be enticing to a cat if left around. So make sure you also pick up the stuff that you use to wrap the food in. Chocolate is toxic to cats. Make sure that stays away. It should go without saying, we'd never want to give any wine or alcohol to cats. The safe places Justin mentioned is very important. You want to give your cat a room that's off limits to people. Even if your cat doesn't mind people, if the door is going to be opening and closing a lot, I think a safe, secure room is a really excellent idea. You don't want your cat to inadvertently slip out of the house. And in general, you know, keep things wrapped, keep things away, even things like the trash can. Just be mindful of places that your cat could get in with all of these enticing aromas and smells.
I think that's great. And it's funny you mentioned the alcohol, because there is such a thing, there is such a product that I've seen called Paw Secco, which is like a Prosecco for cats or dogs. But it needs to be clear to anyone who doesn't quite get it, there is no alcohol in it. It's not alcohol. So it's not a mild alcohol for animals. It's a zero alcohol gimmick with a label on it called Paw Secco, so that it's cute and you feel like you're giving your kitty or your doggy a little bit of Prosecco. It's not alcohol.
I've also seen the Meow Low. Yeah.
Oh, I've not seen that one. I like that. I like that one. I've not seen that Meow Low.
Catnip, little catnip infused wines, but very heavily quoted wines, not wine.
Yeah, it's not alcohol. So it needs to be very clear. Yeah, the alcohol, the animals, like especially cats do not have alcohol. This stuff is a gimmick. It's cute. It's mainly for you to have a joke and a laugh about serving your pet a treat, but it's not alcohol. So I'm glad you mentioned it. It's funny. Oh, we have a comment from Paul Bear. Plants and flowers are dangerous too. Yes, very, very true, Paul. Now, we cannot go through the list of plants, of all plants and flowers which are dangerous to cats, because there are a lot of them. But there are the big ones that we have to be very careful of. Number one on my list, and many people's list, is lilies.
Yeah.
Lilies are so dangerous to cats. Even a tiny bit of the pollen on the cat's fur that it licks up or sniffs in can lead to kidney failure. So lilies are super dangerous. Forget them. But then, I mean, we are heading into the holiday season. So guys, I mean, I do know the answer to this, but poinsettias and things like that.
Chrysanthemums, all of those.
Chrysanthemum, mistletoe, yeah. Yes or no?
People ask me, what type of plant is safe for your cat? And I say plastic. Because even plants that are, you know, safe, that aren't going to cause, you know, death or severe illness, if a cat ingests something, it can still lead to an ER visit. I mean, I've had cats who would eat a leaf, you know, it's not poisonous, it's not on the list of, you know, no-nos, but it irritated the cat's stomach, it didn't come out the other end right away, and she got sick. So,
yeah, well, you know, it may not be fatally toxic, it can still be very upsetting on the GI tract.
Yep. Yes. Exactly.
That's the point. Yeah. So we want to be careful of all plants.
Yes.
So that's a great point, Paul. Plants and flowers can all, I mean, you know, my cats love roses. They like to nibble on them as a snack. I got to be very careful of that because, as Dr. Rachel said, sure, they could have the petals, no problem. If they start to get into the leaves, okay, it might not be a problem, but the leaf itself is thick enough cellulose, it could actually cause a blockage in their intestinal tract.
Yes.
So I'm very careful with even roses, even though they're not technically toxic to cat or deadly to cats or anything. So realistically speaking, you got to be very careful. And do you know what? I think you got to be careful even with the plastic ones, because the plastic ones, if the cat's a little naughty and they get into it, could still lead to some kind of blockage in the intestine or choking hazard or something like that. So the real truth is you got to be careful, but we don't want to make it seem like cats are such a royal pain in the backside that, man, you can't have any plants in your house. You can't have anything and you can never do anything else. It really isn't that bad. We're just saying, be a little bit careful. You know, if you had a kid, you wouldn't say to yourself, I'm never having kids because it's too difficult. Because of the plants and the paper and you just be a little careful, right? You're not going to stop living your life, but you're going to be careful. It's the same thing. And if you had a dog, you'd also want to be careful. There's no pet that you would have where you wouldn't want to be a little bit extra careful and prudent to make sure that it's safe, right? Otherwise, don't have pets. But I don't encourage that because life is just not complete without a pet. Sorry, that's opinion or fact. I consider it a fact. But anyway, Dan, do you have anything to add to Paul's little statement there?
No, I agree with everything that you mentioned. You know, every plant can any plant, even if not toxic, can, you know, cause some sort of upset. So we just want to be careful. Be mindful about what your pets are doing and what's in their environment, because you can't really teach a cat that this thing is dangerous to them. So whenever you have animals around, it's all about training yourself to keep the environment safe for the pets, rather than training the pets to be safe in that environment.
Yeah, our friend says true. Yeah, and it's also because we love our cats. We love our cats, so we do things to protect our pets properly for a lifetime of unconditional love. And that's why we do it, because we love them. And, you know, the thing is sugar, because we forgot to say, because the 14th, so what's that, 3 days ago, was National Diabetes Awareness Day. And cats can get diabetes. And you know what? They could get it a lot easier and quicker than you can. Why? They have smaller bodies. There are probably other medical and, you know, metabolic reasons, but the simplicity of it, oversimplification, is they're smaller. So, you know, less quantity of sugar and sweets can lead to diabetes. So even if something is not toxic per se, like they haven't ingested chocolate or some poison, the sugar itself could lead to health complications in their entire body as a result of that. So we want to be very careful, even on simple sugar. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And even some of the substitutes like the xylitol, you know, that can be dangerous too. So, yeah.
So xylitol is deadly. So that's a good one, because I like xylitol because it's actually good for your teeth. And they put it in some toothpaste because it's actually very good for your teeth. But it's deadly for your cats. So you need to be careful if you're using xylitol and, you know, some of it spills around. Be very careful with that. Be very, very careful with xylitol. It's a lovely product, but it's not lovely for your pets. So be very careful. Again, you can live your life and use it, but be extra careful not to spill any. Or if you do, we'll wipe it up immediately. Because if your cat gets into it, it can cause some really, really severe health complications. Xylitol. Not my favorite. I choose to err on the side of caution. So I use things that are much safer, like stevia and stuff. But xylitol, again, I love it, but it's too risky and I'm too clumsy spilling things here and there. So I just choose to not have it. But if you want to have it, it's great. Just make sure you don't spill it. That's all. So that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about when it comes to the holiday season, to Thanksgiving. So what I did last year, which I think is fun and lovely, is for us to go through, you know, sort of one by one and share things, because it's Thanksgiving. And I know that's not what this holiday is about. I don't need a history lesson. I grew up in America, even though I live in the UK and I'm French. I grew up there. So I know what Thanksgiving is really about, what founders and pilgrims from Boston, which is actually an hour away from here. That's where they came from Boston here. But, you know, things that we're thankful for. So let's give thanks for our cats. I'll get us started. But first we have someone who says, I have three cats. I love animals better than people. I love that you said that. Again, I don't know who you are because the system is not revealing your identity. And that's no problem. But I always say, I love people, but I love cats even more. So thank you for sharing that. You know what? I'm grateful for Emily and Charlotte. Throughout my life, they have really been my salvation. When I've gone through the toughest, toughest times, I tell some people that I'm still around because of them. I decided to stick around and not end it all because I had two little angels who were with fur and loving me and depending on me. And so when I say pick, pamper, protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love, it's not just a slogan. It's because the act of caring for your cat makes you fall in love with it over and over again. It's not the other way around. It's not that you care for the cat and the cat is thankful and is attached to you. That's a part of it, but it's a small part of it. It's you deepen that relationship by your actions. And somebody once asked me, isn't that true for relationships too? And I was like, do you know what? I'm not a relationship expert. I'm a cat expert. But I have read relationship books like by Ellen Kreidman and of course my great friend Damona Hoffman, who's one of the world's most famous relationship coaches and dating coaches now. She's on the Drew Barrymore show as a regular and everything. We went to university together. She's an amazing, amazing person. So I've spoken to actual relationships expert and they agree. They say, yes, that's true for relationships too. So I don't know, but they say it's true. But it's certainly true for your pets and your cats. Is that it's your actions, your causative doingness makes you fall in love with it over and over again, which is almost counterintuitive, but almost not. But that's a spiritual lesson. I'll leave that to the gurus. But for what we're concerned about, is that's important. So because I had that in my life, and they depended on me, and I needed to care for them and get out of bed and feed them and do these things every day, I stuck around. And so I'm very, very grateful for both Emily and for Charlotte because of the unconditional love that they've given me, but it's kind of conditional because I got to feed them and do all the stuff for them, but certainly the unconditional love that I give to them. And I am very grateful for that. We have a quick comment here. Scented candles are dangerous to cats too. Absolutely, Paul. That goes along the lines of things like incense, essential oils, which are great, but we have to be careful because they're very concentrated. And so something that may be not even toxic, it's too concentrated and will cause irritation and potentially even bleeding in their respiratory systems because it's just too much. It's overwhelming for their little tiny systems. Anything like
a small little, everyone loves that cute little cat nose. You just want to boop it, but that's what it is. It's little.
It's small. So
there isn't much room, and once you get inside to all the folds, it's even smaller than you think.
It's so tiny.
And
anything
that you can knock over too.
Yeah,
candles can be knocked over.
Candles could be knocked over and all of that, but
they're not doing it on purpose. You know, they're not trying to be bad. Cats don't deliberately misbehave, but things can be enticing. The candle, the light has movement, and they're curious. Mm-hmm. And you know, I tend to avoid candles whether they're scented or not, just because it's something that could be easily knocked over.
Yeah, and it's romantic. It's cute to have, but you just have to be prudent and careful with it. And then keep in mind too, some of these scented candles and things like Glade plugins are highly toxic and poisonous to humans. Forget cats. They'll send your cat to the vet and you'll wonder why it's bleeding from the nose and having incredible diseases of the respiratory system that you can't figure out why. It's also toxic to you. Some people wonder why these air freshener plug-in things work. They work because they actually go in and they anesthetize and numb your sense of smell, and then they introduce these artificial smells in there. They don't work by actually masking the odor. They're actually causing anesthesia in your own sense of smell. And if they're doing that to you with your big, you know, human system, imagine what it's doing to a little teeny tiny cat. It could throw off so many of its instincts and smells and all that. The cats are so dependent on that. So I don't want to rant too much about this, but you're absolutely right. Scented candles are dangerous to cats too. Before we move on to the next gratitude thing, we have Hi Team just poking in real fast as I'm on the road. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, thank you so much for poking in as you're on reward. Drive safely and happy Thanksgiving. It's very early because Thanksgiving isn't for like another few days, but happy Thanksgiving. And then I use battery operated ones only. Great, but still, Paul, be very careful of what is being released from that. If it's all natural, like a diffuser, that's better. But still be careful because, again, some essential oils, not good for them. Some essential oils, toxic for cat. Some essential oils are not toxic, but they're overwhelming because they're just too powerful. So just be careful, even with the battery-operated ones, of what is being released into the air and whether it's healthy for them or you. So anyway, Rachel, let's do you. And then Dan, what are you grateful for your cats or cats in general?
Well, I'm going to start off by responding to the person who wrote that she likes animals better than people. Because in my book, Saving the World One Cat at a Time, the foreword is written by my husband, who as part of the foreword has his top 10 list of how he knows that I love the cats more than I love him. So,
oh, that's awesome. By the way, your biggest fan, Michael Parrott, is the one who's on the road. Don't forget the cranberry sauce, he says. So that's just for you there, Dr. Rachel. And then Paul just responded, non-scented candles, just battery operated. I'm super careful. Awesome. Perfect. Yes,
Paul,
so you're doing
like, yeah.
You know, yeah. Cat Lady Justin, yeah. Dr. Rachel approved. Dan approved. Yeah. But okay, good.
I am grateful for, you know, loving family and friends, both human and furry. You know, like you said, you know, my cats have really been, well, I've had so many cats. I've had multi-cat households my entire life since I was like 5. So I've had a lot of cats go through my life, and I've deeply loved all of them. I can remember being a little girl and asking my dad if he thought, you know, when these cats died, that someday I would meet them in heaven and they would recognize me and I them. And he assured me that they would, that the cats would recognize me and that I would recognize them. And I'm grateful to that advice or to that talk that he gave to me, because it really taught me that our relationships with our cats matter, that these relationships are important, that they endure. And to me, it sent me on that mission of really believing that their lives were worth saving. And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm also grateful for my family's acceptance of my love for cats. Even as a little girl, I used to go on these walks around the block and somehow seemed to discover an endless parade of cats who really needed me. And I brought them all to my home because I needed to take care of them. So, you know, this, all of these kind of childhood experiences set me on this path to be where I am now. And I'm grateful for that in my life.
You're like the Pussycat Pied Piper, the Pied Piper of Pussycats.
That's
Triple P. So I just, as Dr. Rachel's been sharing what she's grateful for, Dr. Rachel, obviously, if you're thinking of surrendering your cat before you do, you can still do it. DrRachelCatBehavior.com. Free of charge, you can have a consultation with Dr. Rachel, and maybe, just maybe, we can keep your cat in your home. She's on a mission to keep 1,000 cats in their homes every single year, and she does that, again, as a philanthropist of benevolence, not because she's making money off of it, because it doesn't cost anything. So it's Dr. Rachel Cat Behavior, DrRachel Cat Behavior, BehaVior. So I spell that because it's the American way, and we have lots of listeners here. So it's DrRachelCatBehavior.com. But of course, connect with her, me, whoever on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. Send us a message and we'll get you hooked up with that. Don't surrender your cat before you at least try with Dr. Rachel Cat Behavior. Thank you very much. And because you're our special guest, we'll give you the last word on what you are grateful for cats, Dan.
Well, thanks, Justin. So I am very thankful for my own first cat, you know, as an adult. Her name was Jasmine. Her name still is Jasmine. She lives with my old roommate at the time. She's 13 now. But I was assigned her when I was in school for vet tech. And she really just taught me how to love cats. She and I, she came from a lab because she was, you know, sent to the school, and I had never really had a cat. So we really learned, she learned how to interact with people. I learned how to interact with cats. Growing up, my dad had a cat, but he didn't want anything to do with the youngest of four kids. I was a rambunctious little kid. I was not very cat friendly as a kid. I was too hyper, you know. Didn't really want that when I wasn't there as a consistency. But that was really the only cat I was experienced to growing up. And then I met Jasmine and she just kind of really flipped it. And now when I tell people that I haven't always been a cat person, they're shocked. They're absolutely bewildered because I'm such a cat guy now.
Yeah. Well, that's very different for me then, because I've always been a cat person. My dad was a cat person since he was a little boy. I mean, I come from a cat family going all the way back probably to ancient Egypt, the pharaohs or something. I don't know. Yeah. I always joke about that. I was in a Egyptian in a past life or something, because cats have just always been part of it. You know, it's just inconceivable not to have a cat. I've grown up, I was born with them. So it's like, you know, so I think that's awesome, though, that you... went through that and you discovered your absolute love of cats. So that's it for the show. Thanksgiving. The next show, of course, will be our next special holiday, Hanukkah, whatever you want to call it, because we celebrate all holidays here. We just don't celebrate no holidays. Sorry. We celebrate all of them because we embrace everyone. But if you don't celebrate any holidays, we still have some awesome tips because there's maybe New Year's. So we'll do that show next month. And Dan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope you come again, because I think it was very helpful to have you here. And it was very fun and nice. And I think I want to thank you also for the valuable input you've had. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. It's been a great time.
And we'll catch up in 2 minutes after the show. Okay. So, Rachel, once again, it's been a pleasure to co-host the show with you. Thank you for catching up with me. I hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving coming up in a few days. I don't know if you have any plans, but have a really lovely time over there. So thank you very much, and we'll see you next month. And Meow Mentors, it's Cat Lady Justin. This is the Kitty Boss, where we pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love. Join us next month when we have our Christmas stroke, all the other holiday specials for December, as well as New Year's special. And we'll talk about everything to do with cats and all of that stuff and extra stuff. We have one final message from Paul Bear. Happy Thanksgiving. Paul, thank you so much. Really appreciate your input this particular show. It's been actually really good. So I hope you tune in next month. And we can have you with some more amazing comments and tips, because it definitely inspires us to give better advice on here. So happy Thanksgiving to you, and we'll see everybody next month.